Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Property Rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Now, it's interesting, Edwin tonight, who joins me, has gone from stop to slow. What's that all about, Edwin?
Oh, well, we're going to talk about it in the tip of the week, Martin. Just go slow.
Excellent. How are you doing?
Slow down. Oh, apart from heat stroke, having to jump in and do some fencing today and do some carpentry work yesterday because the tradies don't turn up. It's a silly season, Martin. And people are hungover and they don't want to turn up, or they've got making all sorts of excuses. But you know what? The work needs to be done. So we did about 30 linear meters of fencing for a client's property today, and with all bends and drops and all sorts of things, and two gates. So so I'm a little bit red, and that's from a bit of heat stroke.
Okay, very well. Well, I've been doing some heavyweight lifting too. So, as you may remember, Jill, who died nearly a year ago now, was an academic, and she had thousands and thousands of notes and books and binders. And I've started the very long task of throwing it all out because it's not worth anything, unfortunately, now. And so I ordered a 9 cubic meter skip. Right, 9 cubic meters, big one, right? And I have this afternoon carried down a quarter of one set of bookshelves, and I'm knackered already. I've got loads to do. She's secreted books in wardrobes, under the bed, all over the place. Every time I open a cupboard, there's more books. So I reckon it's going to be 150 trips between the house and where the skip is. So I'm going to be quite fit by the time I finish that.
Oh, well, that's it. Time to lose the Christmas pounds. But look, you and Elon are doing the same thing, finding all sorts of things. nothing will remain hidden, that the truth won't set free, Martin. And that bird is free, and the HB piles, the Twitter piles have been released. Mm. I'm actually putting a DM to Elon and asking him to asking him when he's going to release the domain auction clearance files, CoreLogic files. They need to be released, Martin.
Absolutely, yes, we should be told. Well, let's now talk about our beloved Premier.
Look, hidden talents, hidden books, hidden everything, and look, our boy is the new look. But will he win the votes, and will he be re-elected? Time will tell. But everybody's talking about the losing the signature glasses. But I'm sort of thinking he did a bit of work in his eyebrows. What do you reckon?
Yeah, it could be. But actually, I still think he could do with a comb for his hair. Maybe we should send him one for Christmas.
That's the grunge look, Martin. That's a grunge look. Yeah, he's got to fit in. He's got to appeal to the younger audience. But you know what? We don't want to be left behind, Martin. You're doing all the exercises. Yeah, now that I've finished the renovation of the second studio as well, I'm all in. No excuses in this household. Dusty and Evan have given me 30 square meters of space so I can set up my indoor gym. So no excuses. So let's see what hidden talents I could come up with, what new looks I might come up with in the new year as well.
Yeah, so you've renovated your studio, right?
Yeah, well, I've been renovating the studios, and the house. So we were working hard along with all clients and family and friends, and all of a sudden, they see you with a ute, and everybody wants a piece of you. I think I made the mistake of going to Bunnings and going to the tool shops a year ago and buying some tools, and all of a sudden now I'm in demand with my family. But what do you do?
Yeah, indeed, that's right. And suddenly the imperative is, I'd like it all done by Christmas, please, as well, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, well, the first came off the rank of priorities are obviously our clients' properties that we've helped to buy, and we're trying to rush before the issues that we have with the WeChat chatter, as I've been telling us. So, yeah, with mainland China, as we've been bringing the information in, hot off the press, and in front of the mainstream media pundits, what's happening there and how that's going to affect us. So it's going to continue to affect us, and obviously that is why the big rush with some of the properties that we helped by some of our clients with the rental work, so that they don't get caught out and we don't get caught out. As you know, and as I've shared on this podcast as well, Dusty and I, we bought a lot of our materials over 12 months ago. We've had it in storage in the shed, and we've been using it as we've been going through. Now, some of them, some of the electricians, that electrical wiring and everything, we've noticed how they've gone up in price by, in some cases, for particular materials, anywhere between 45% to 110%. So, thank God that we were able to take note of the, way before the mainstream media picked up on the supply chain issues and how that was going to affect the building industry. And that's when yourself, Tarek, and myself, we were very vocal about it. We were warning the people, and here we are. And it's only going to get worse. So all I can say is to those that have bought or looking at buying a renovator's delight, well, you better make sure that you make the order for the materials as well, and keep them safe and keep them locked up, because they're going to be worth a hell of a lot more next year.
Yeah, good point. And things continue to go rather interestingly. If you go up to China, they're sort of now unofficially, they're sort of unlocking, aren't they, really? Though not officially, of course. No. The virus has changed. It's not as virulent, so it's fine. But actually, they've started now to slowly but quietly just allow people to get around a bit more, which is quite interesting, right? So it's a quite significant shift.
Yeah, look, it is. And it's predominantly the CCP overall aren't the ones in control anymore. It's the what we would consider the local LGAs that are in control. They determine that, they decide whether or not they the LGAs are going to be the equivalent of our LGAs, or whether they're going to be in a continued lockdown, or what type of mandatory positions, situations that are going to put the people under. But one thing for sure is that they've got a very cold winter coming up, and a lot of the workers have gone, and they've got issues with workers now, and for factories to kick start towards the end of the year. And let's not forget that we've also got the Moon Festival early in next year as well. So you've got all these issues that are going to be affecting anybody that's looking for raw materials or base materials to produce something here, or waiting on finished goods, such as your iPhones, to arrive. So get your orders in quick, and make the most of it. Make the most of the warnings that we've been putting out. I'm sure a lot of our followers have been taking heed to our warnings as we've shared this information from the WeChat channels.
Yeah, I think that's right. I've had a few people thank us for being alert to some of those issues. And what about the WeChat Chats local? So there's some interesting things going on there too, isn't there?
Oh, look, there are scammers in the scammers. There's even scammers in WeChat Chatter, Martin. The little brothers and the little sisters, as we've been sharing. Yeah, they're hired labour predominantly. Yeah, you're a little brother or a little sister. If you don't have a working visa, if you don't have what we call a ghost migrant, and you get employed cash in hand, that's sort of the pecking order. So you're a little brother or a little sister, and your income level isn't as high. Then you've got your master, and then you've got your snakehead, and the pecking order goes up the chain. But in here, there's also the older uncles. They're the scammers. Yeah, good luck to them. So what you've got is these WeChat groups, and they don't put their, in their avatar in the WeChat, they don't put the profile of themselves. They'll use something else, on the profile. So you don't know how old the person is. So what they're doing is they're turning up to these notices on WeChat. They're turning up, And obviously they get this old man that's, in the 70s, late 60s, 70s, who knows how, even older. And what they're doing is they're saying, well, I've answered your call, your post, so I'm here to work. So they're called uncles, right? So anybody older than yourself, substantially, is called an uncle. So so what they do is they say the older brothers or the masters, they get the uncles and they say, listen, thank you for coming, but look, here's $100, here's $150. We don't need you. We really want somebody active because this is a lot of hard work. So these are real scammers. So you think about it, right? So a little sister, a little brother, is getting $400 in the hand in cash to do manual labor and hard work, right? It's not easy, it's hard work. But these uncles are even smarter. They'll turn up to three or four sites during the day, pick up 100, 150, and they don't lift a finger, and they come with a hell of a lot more money. How's that?
Oh, well, it shows that there are always a few who can find a way. mind you, talking about finding a way, here's an example from the Fin Review of somebody not finding a way, right?
No. And is this a prelude? This is not what the WeChat Chatter is, the local WeChat Chatter is also talking about this this article. Is this a prelude of some of the higher-end apartments that are held by Chinese syndicates, Chinese groups, Chinese families, and basically this is now, if there's one being reported, you can know that there's going to be a lot more happening out there. And interestingly, in that article, they talk about how they're not a lot of the cases. Often they are using the platform WeChat in order to advertise because they don't want the general public, the overall perception that these proud Chinese families are in dire straits and they need to sell. And in this case, they took a $1.25 million haircut of this apartment in the city. So is this the straw that breaks the camel's back? Is this the prelude of what we're going to see in reports that are going to be brought up more and more by the mainstream media? Who knows? But I think there is a lot of pressure. And unless the properties are being rented, you and I have said, Martin, in a strata complex, unless the properties are being rented and they're getting bringing that income, the owners of these properties are not making good with the special levies, the strata levies, and all the other levies that they've had to bring in order to maintain the buildings, in order to rectify the buildings, in order to make safe for future tenancy. So these are the issues that are going to continue to unfold. So it's just a wait and see. But it brought about a bit of chatter in the local WeChat Chatterers, and they're not that they're really ironing out these products, but it was just a bit of banter, a bit of chatter on the platform, because they're obviously the local WeChat Chatterers, as we've said, they're not interested in buying apartments per se. They're more looking at homes that they can convert into your makeshift single room lettings or illegal boarding houses, as I call them.
It is interesting though, when I've had a few people tell me about upper end properties, not just apartments but houses, where effectively they've sold and sold significantly lower than one, the asking price, and secondly the previous purchase price. So there is definitely something happening towards the upper end of the market in some areas, and sometimes it's simply because people have been caught out from a financial perspective. But there's also this issue of, well, if I sell now, I take a small loss, but if I wait and sell later, I might take a big loss. So there's a bit of an imperative to try and get shot. Very interesting times.
Oh, look, it is. And one of our followers sent us an email. We haven't been able to share in detail and share those posts. I haven't been able to do a bit of the research. I will. And we'll bring it out in a later date. And that was the top end. That was the top end properties, in your 9, 8, 10, 12, 13 million dollar bracket. So there's a lot of pain there. But then you think about it, Martin, a hundred basis points rise in for a mortgage on a million. What's that? That's $10,000. What's that? An extra $10,000 that you got to stump up. But on a $5 million mortgage, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I did a show today actually where I highlighted some of the deltas from where rates were to where they are now and what that translates to in terms of the increased monthly repayment. And for a large mortgage, I mean, it's eye-watering. That's what I called my show, actually. I thought it was totally appropriate.
Well, that's it. And we, you know, I haven't watched that episode. I've been out there sunbaking. Not really. Sunbaking.
Put it on your to watch list. I'll put a link below as well so people can watch it later. Now, let's talk about renters, because there was this very interesting report, right? This is a bit sort of disturbing, shameful, whatever you want to call it. It is nuts, isn't it?
Oh, look, it's shameful, disturbing, and sheer incompetence from our local, state, and federal governments. They all should hang their head in shame as to what's happening. And you know what, Martin? There is the relief won't come about for another 2 to 3 years, best case scenario, because by the time that you gazette something, by the time that you know, that's gazetted and approved to be developed to completion, it's going to be 3-4 years, and that's in, you know, high rise. I mean, give me a definition of what the government defines as a home. For starters, they haven't even defined it. I know what they're going to be doing is they're going to be building these shoeboxes to house people. But all these issues, as I go back to the local, it goes back to the primary source, which is the local LGAs and the NIMBYs, not in my backyard, people that are now they are their own worst enemies, because The NIMBYs are the ones that now want to stay in the local residence, but they can't because they can't downsize. So they're stuck with these massive homes on 900, 1100 square meters of land, these massive homes that are absolutely costing a fortune to maintain and to keep. You know, in some cases they're 5-6 bedrooms, you know, and all sorts of gizmos there, when that could easily be turned into a 3 or 4 lot villa site that would increase the volume of properties. But of course, that also that has its issues. Where the NIMBYs don't want to, you know, devalue the land. They don't want to do this. They don't want to do that. Now, it's come back to bite them in the ass. But on the other side of that coin are the people, the innocent bystanders that have just, you know, wanting to earn an income. Didn't aspire to own a property. They just wanted to, do whatever they wanted to do. And now they're in that stage of pension. This is what the report is talking about there. You know, where in some cases you've got more than 2/3 of their income subsidized. Goes towards paying the rental. So what do we do, Martin? That's the question. What do we do?
Well, it's a very, very tricky situation, because it's 30 years of policy failure, isn't it? As we've said previously, you know, we've let the momentum being driven by ever such high house prices. We've also noticed, of course, that the number of property investors are going down at the moment. So people are selling their investment properties because they can't make the investment property circuit work anymore. Governments have basically outsourced property to the private sector and the private sector markets, but the market, it's a market failure. So this is not going to end well. And unfortunately, I see in my surveys, you know, more than 60% of households renting are now in rental stress. They're struggling with cash flow, according to my latest numbers. Mortgage stress is pretty bad as well, but it's not as bad as rental stress. But really, none of the policies and strategies that are being articulated by either the state or the federal government are going to come close to tackling this in any time soon. And I'm not sure that they really want to. That's my, you know, a lot of will waffle about it, but there's no real action, as far as I can see, that's really going to make a difference. And just essentially saying, well, you know, we'll build a few more properties. Well, that'll take a long, long time. But of course, there's still a commercial imperative to build certain types of properties in a certain way at a certain price point. Where is the strategy about government housing, you know, public sector housing? That has to be part of the story, but nobody wants to talk about it.
No, nobody wants to talk about it. And then you've got the tenants union, and I think the Greens as well, talking about the correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah, they're talking about a freeze on rent. I mean, there's two sides to that argument as well. Do we ask the government to step in and offer foot the bill for the increase in rental after they do an assessment of the individual. I mean, is that what we do? But what we do know for sure is, although there's a lot of questions out there, but what we do know for sure is that people are going without, and they're going without food, and they're going without a lot of even medicine in some cases, in order to sustain and pay the rent. That's lunacy. That is crazy.
No, it is crazy. And worryingly, there are people now, 60 to 70% of their total available income just going on somewhere to live. I mean, that is not sustainable in the current environment, particularly with inflation so high. And I don't know whether you saw, but there was some research done showing that, in fact, more people now are missing meals and, you know, just because they can't make the square the circle with everything that needs to be done. A lot of that pressure is on the rental sector. So this is a strategic issue for the country, and it's one where I'm afraid that both at the state and federal level, I say fail. No one is wanting to step up and do the right thing and solve it.
And it also goes back to the local governments as well, Mark. It really does come back to the local, to the grassroots level as well. It goes back to that as well. The state can step in and can open up corridors, and we see these monstrosities come up. That's only an issue. The other actor in this scenario is your landlords, your deadbeat landlords that want to have the piece of the cake and want to have the eat the whole cake as well and not make good. And this is where the authorities need to step in now. In times like this is when the authorities need to step in, and they need to start becoming very, very vigilant with all the BS and all the crap that's out there. It is crazy the stuff that we see out there, Martin, that's been rented as granny flats, as makeshift granny flats, as even homes that are absolutely dilapidated, full of mold and all sorts of issues. So these people have to be roped in, they have to be pulled in, and they have to be accountable for moving forward. We have to take accountability for what's happening. And I think the people need a voice, Martin.
I agree. Unfortunately, no simple answers, but as I say, massive failure everywhere, and unfortunately, not a lot of appetite to solve it. Let's move on. There's another very interesting article here, Edwin. they did better than the block. How's that then?
Yeah, well, look, that's it was interesting. Obviously, I wanted to go. I didn't go. I told the viewers that I was going to go, and I was going to offer a bit of a dollar. Fair trading were there. what I forgot was that it's also my mother's birthday.
Got to get your priorities right, Edwin. Get your priorities right. Very important.
So she called me, and she goes, "Oh, well, are we going to go out for our birthday?" And I thought, "Oh God, I was going to go to the auction. What do I do? Do I go to the auction and then die on the second, get killed, or do I go take mum out for a birthday?" So Dusty and I decided to take mum out for a birthday. I knew I was going to get it, but for me, after reading the report and reading what's gone there, and also looking at the sale prices and what the hedonic index says about the area, I really believe that by doing this and going, going all out, as in, selling these homes in one line, I really believe that they drop in today's market, they dropped anywhere between 15 and 18%. Wow. That's in today's market, in today's price.
Yep. Fascinating. Yeah, interesting. Well, if you've got lots of properties in the same area all going for sale at the same time, it tends to have move the market, doesn't it?
Well, it does. I think the winner in this was the person that bought 77 Mount Pleasant Avenue, Warunga. They bought 927 square meters in Warunga for $360,000. Yes, it's got its issues, but it's still 927 square meters of land. I'm sure construction, it's going to be, it looks like it slopes away and everything. But even CoreLogic, medium confidence, the CoreLogic report on this block of land was 1.32, the value of the block of land. Now that to me was the winner. But again, Martin, whoever convinced the church, the vendors, to go and sell in one line in this marketplace, and to call it $1 reserve, and it was going to sell, and this trying to build that hype, had a fool for a consultant, and they were foolish to take the consultant's opinion. I would have kicked him out. I would have kicked him or her out as as quick as Dusty polishes a breakfast in the mornings. With that type of that type of shenanigans. Seriously, that it's cost them dearly. It's cost them dearly. Call it. Round it off to 15%, Martin.
Yeah.
Of today's market. I'm not talking about 2021's prices. I'm talking about today's prices, which has already dropped, let's say, 20% in the area. So people walked away with the bargain. The question is, and because your property background from England and everything, the question now is what are the values? How are they going to value other property?
Yeah. Yep. No, it's a great question. And, I've had a few chats this last couple of weeks with valuers who are scratching their heads a bit. Because they're getting quite strong direction from lenders to, calm it down. Yeah, and of course, they're trying to sort of find the market, but also take account of the fact that prices are likely to continue to slide. So valuations are coming in significantly below where the expectations are at the moment for many people.
Yeah, so we've got a situation here. Let's say it was one or two properties, and you got these sort of values. The valuer can say, and the agents can say, well, they're out of line sales, and that went lower than what's expected. So you could argue as a real estate agent, as a selling agent, you could argue that, hey, look, that was a drop in price because, whatever, it rained, there was a thunderstorm, it hailed on the day, nobody really turned up, whatever. You could argue that. You could even argue the fact that, look, somebody died in the house. There was a violent incident, so therefore it pulled the price down when it's one or two. But when you've now got nine properties that now dictates the values for others in the area, and it's going to take a long time and walk its way. Now, you and I know, as much as I've been criticized online saying that that banks actually have the sway on valuers, people have said, oh, how could you say that, blah, blah, blah. You say, I talk to valuers like you do, Martin, and I've been talking to them for the last 30 bloody years, 27 years. I've been talking to them, and I know the ins and outs. Mm. And I know that in times like this, as to the previous two cycles, when the property prices drop, I know what the instructions are. You need to value the property as though it was going to go back on the market under an auction scenario in 12 months' time.
Yep.
So what do you do? Now, when you get paid at the moment, on average, a valuer gets paid about $220 to $230 per valuation. That's what they get. What you're telling me, that they're going to put the $10,000 professional indemnity insurance on the line just because they want to give it a higher valuation, because the bank's paying them $220? No way, Jose. It's not going to happen, not in this lifetime. They are going to be very conservative, and this is where people have got to be careful when they go to auctions and they buy at auctions, because that 5 to 10% lever of emotion is no longer there in most cases, and they'll do their ass.
No, you're absolutely right, and that's why being careful about valuations is critical at the moment, particularly in sort of a wobbly, downy market. So. Probably listings are also quite interesting. So, if you go back to, this is Sydney, last Monday, 18,187. Now, if you look at this time, this is on the 5th, 17,248, so a little bit of a slide.
Yeah, well, we're getting to the silly season. Really, the 10th of December is perhaps when post that is when things really, really go on a grind. Let's not forget that conveyances and solicitors take a break after the 19th. they start taking a break, and they're not back till the second week of January. For the most part. So it's going to be interesting to see what who stays on market, which areas gets new listings. I've been watching new listings come on market in different regions that were looking for clients. That's rather interesting, which is good for us because that means that they want to sell, they need to sell, and they must sell. And therefore we can go in. Yeah, we can go in with our strategies to get them at the right point. So we want to get them in, given the fact that some may have issues. So this is the interesting. But yeah, look, it's pulling back now, but it's still not pulling back as fast or as hard as what one would expect. I still get chatter along the in the grapevine that a lot of agents aren't taking a break.
No, it is interesting. I'm talking to a couple of people at the moment who are talking about using Boxing Day as a launching period. So the strategy is they'll actually start advertising new properties on Boxing Day and then actually start showing them in the middle of January. Because their argument is there's actually quite a lot of people who'll be around just after Christmas, nothing to do, therefore... you know, pique their interest with new properties and see whether you can actually create some momentum. So they're actually working through. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, look, I've heard Dusty tells me, I don't know whether it's true. Dusty tells me that 50% of people that were flying into state with Qantas have cancelled their trip after watching the video online. I don't know. Yeah, could be a conspiracy theory. Could be a conspiracy theory. But there's a video going on there and people have said, you know what, stuff that, I'm not going.
it makes you wonder, doesn't it? And just for completeness, the data from last Friday at 17,712, which tends to be the dip, right? It's still amazingly high for this time of year, isn't it? It's remarkably high.
Look, it is. And the houses on the market was 7,888. So lucky for the buyers. It's a lucky sign for the buyers moving ahead towards the end of the year, mate. So let's see what eventuates this week. As I said, for me now, for us, for our team, the interesting things are going to be the ones that come on, new listings that come on. We've seen a hell of a lot of new listings in parts of the Blacktown LGA come on over the last 5-6 days, which is rather interesting. But other than that, there's other areas. The Shire is a bit slow, but the parts of the Shire, certain suburbs in the Shire, where there's still quite a lot of listings out there and people want out. But you look at who wants out, who really wants out, are those that people that in the homes that are staying on are generally the older homes, the ones that need a lot of work, need a lot of refurbishment, and the people want to downsize and they're happy to stay on and because. They're also looking to move further afield and to retire or downsize the empty nesters.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll watch the space. Let's talk about auctions now because, in fact, the auction stats are quite interesting. This is for the 10th of December. Victoria is still ruling the roost.
Look, they are. They're going, people want to go out. They want to leave. They're still wanting to leave. The market's hot there. The numbers say it all. Nobody wants to live in Victoria.
and it's interesting if you compare it with the third, right? So the third had 1,089. So interesting. The numbers are, wow.
The numbers are coming up.
1,125 now from 1,089 just before Christmas. And if you go to the 26th of November for Victoria, 946.
you look at. Sydney numbers from the 12th of November of 747 and to looking at the numbers now that are going you've got 864. So this is a confidence group. People want out. People want out. People want to transact. They're telling the buyers, look, we want to transact. We will listen. And people need to. People want to. They want out because obviously they're thinking. Some are thinking for next year. Is it going to get worse? And as you've been saying for a while, Martin, you know, the banks are also in their ears and they and giving them a nudge to sell, particularly if they're in mortgage stress, because they don't want them to get into mortgage delinquency, because then if everything happens and you've got mortgage delinquency, then you've got mortgage in possession. But yeah, and the cycle goes on and on and on, which is what the banks don't want. So let's see what happens. But look, you know, in some areas, unfortunately, there are some areas that the you know, in Sydney that we're seeing, which is your first home buyer areas, where the Dom Perrottet effect is still there to an extent. And let's face it, it's I think we need a lot more listings on market. But let's not lose hope, because the numbers aren't receding as quickly as you know, previous years.
Absolutely. Well, let's quickly look at Melbourne, because the numbers are quite interesting. This is from the 28th of November, 26,246. And then if we compare that with the 5th, 25,620, and then compare that with the ones on the 2nd, which sort of the peak, 26,014. So again, we're seeing slight falls, but gee, there's still quite a lot on, isn't there?
I look, there is. This is what I'm saying. The Melbourne market is very, very active. And also, if you look at the Brisbane numbers, they haven't dropped. They haven't dropped many at all. There's a lot of transactions happening in Brisbane that they get taken out and there are numbers being replaced. So it's a watch and see for both Brisbane and Melbourne. But I think Melbourne is there's a lot of pain there. You can just there's blood in the water, Martin.
Yeah, very interesting. It looks to me as though, you know, it's going to be quite interesting just watching how this all plays out in the months ahead, really. Because you've basically got now, what, 2 or 3 months? Because you've got the Christmas New Year hiatus, right? Yep. You've got people sort of, in some cases, away until the end of January, because really a lot of people don't really get back into the momentum until February time, and then you've got sort of March, which is traditionally quite a strong autumn segment. So it'll be very interesting how that plays out over the next little while.
Yeah, and it'll come back to And look, I don't follow the Melbourne market. Obviously, we don't work in that area, so I don't follow it as well. But it'll be quite interesting to see what's happening in some of the areas. And I would dare say that it would mirror some what's happening, the top end areas here in Sydney. Yeah. That's where we're seeing a lot of pain and yep. people taking the biggest haircuts. Also, no different to Brisbane. I know there's been a mainstream media article or a REB article with regards to WA talking about WA is going to hold its ground, yay! Yeah, but let's wait and see. Let's wait and see what happens in.
There are signs that's not necessarily the case. Mortgage stress is still rising over there. And we're getting a few examples now. In fact, Cookie has been really, really busy with his data extraction. He's swamping me with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of reduced price homes. So I have to keep making these anti-spook videos, right? I'm getting too many.
Yeah, well, a lot of people, see, this is what a lot of people don't understand, Martin, that a lot of the people that own properties in WA, Perth, are from the East Coast. Mm. Because they're investors. So if there's pain here, there's going to be a hell of a lot of pain there, whether it transcends over a period of time, whether it be that there's a lag at the moment, a month or 2 months or 3 months, but the pain will be felt here, because as they feel it here, what are they going to do? As I keep on saying, first you get rid of your toys. So when you're in mortgage stress, mortgage delinquency, when you're in a situation where you've got to make decisions, you get rid of your toys. In some cases, you get rid of the girlfriend as well, the extracurriculum activity. So you get rid of the toys, the girlfriend, the extracurricular activity. Then you get rid of your holiday homes, right? Then people get rid of the investment properties. Why? Because they want to protect the principal place of residence. That is the nature of this beast. That's how it works. So I dare say that we're going to be seeing the used car index of the very high end vehicles. It's going to skyrocket and prices are going to come back down to earth where they should be. once this paints up because of all the toys. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how many garage sales or how much stuff gets put on eBay or Gumtree post Christmas, Mark.
Absolutely. No, you're right about that. It'll be very interesting to see. And now we should go to our more wacky than a wacky, wacky conspiracy theory, right? So you're basically told nothing to see here, property's fine, right? And then you go and look.
Yeah, look, yeah, this is the thing. It's wacky, but it's not a conspiracy theory. This is the bullshit that we get told over and over again. Yeah, and this is where what people are relying on, these building pest reports provided by the vendors, agents, and the agents, and they tell you all sorts of furby. So you don't know. Look, we're very keen on this property. Klein and I are very keen on this property. We want to make an offer, but I needed to be sure. Now, you know, it took me about 5 minutes to find where the bloody manhole was amongst all the rubbish that was around the house and all the pole crap that was around there. You can see there, and I donned on my throwaway overalls because I wanted to see. There were some issues that were evident in inside the house, which I then thought and believed that there were obviously greater issues in the subfloor area, and I wanted to go under there and also in the the building inspector couldn't get into the manhole to access the roof cavity because it was. Yeah, you know, it was very small. I had troubles just getting these photos that I'm, you know, that you're showing now. But you know, and there were issues there because the battens that are holding the roof tiles, they've been deteriorated and they've been decaying over the years because of moisture getting through because there's no sarking there, and moisture's been getting through as well as all the pollution. And what that does is that deteriorates the integrity. Of the battens, and you see all this fluffy stuff coming out from the battens, which is really the polymers or the fiber from the timber. It just turns into marshmallow, so you can literally break that off. So you got all these issues that weren't reported, and the agent saying, "Yeah, everything's cool, everything's fine," let alone the issues underneath. Now, I only got as far as probably about 3 or 4 meters past the manhole. Under the property because I limited time and I didn't have all my gear anyway, and I already noticed that there was some there was evidence of dry mud mud trails from termites, and it coincided with the main house where there was water ingress coming in from the main house from the balcony. So there were all these issues. So the vendor wanted $1.2 million for this property. Guiding $1,150,000. After all this, we put in an offer of $930,000, and we told the agent why. And we said, you need to show the vendor all these photos. You need to show the vendor these videos because what you're telling us is bullshit. And take it or leave it. They said, oh, we've got a better offer, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, go with a better offer. I don't care. This is, we've done our sums. This is what we'll pay based on the rectification work that's required. So, they went with a better offer, and guess what, Martin? I got a phone call today. This is the wacky part. The vendor's considering your offer. Are you still there? Well, let's see. Let's see how much lower you're prepared to go based on the fact that I told you so.
Yep, absolutely. Well, you know, it really, again, this object lesson's really important, right? So you get a, high-level survey from the a surveyor working for the vendor, right? And it'll give you, the obvious things. You know, there might be a little bit thing, a little bit here, but it won't go into much detail. And they don't actually move furniture. They don't actually go anywhere. It really is more a marketing event rather than actually a structural survey event, isn't it? And yet, very often, the agent will then use that as, you don't need to do anything else. Here's a, here it is already. Now, maybe, all right, but if there's any question of, wobbliness around the structure of the property, you cannot rely on this high-level survey from the vendor, can you?
No, you've really got to do your own. Look, the upside of this, Martin, where I was crawling under there, what I did see was I saw some good shit under the house. There was a couple of mud guards from a two model Ford.
Oh wow!
So I figured, you know, $10,000 each. There was some lights. There was all sorts of stuff under there. I didn't want to go. Yeah, I said I was pressed for time. I didn't want to go further in because for two things, I thought I might find a couple of dead bodies. who knows what I would find in if I found, you know, the mud guts for a T-model Ford and other stuff. And who knows what's under there. So I just didn't want to venture in. Yeah, so you know, look, there's an upside. So we might, you know, the offer might say, yeah, we'll give you 900, and leave all the shit behind, because I'm sure there's some real good, there's a treasure trove in there. The only thing is our client will need 4 or 5 of your 9 cubic meter or 10 cubic meter skip ins in order to get rid yep. of the rock inside the house, outside the house, and underneath the area, and in the roof cavity as well. It was incredible the cell that was in there.
Yeah, well, I tell you, I mean, I've been having a clean out the last couple of weeks, right? And the first thing I did was to clean up the garage, because we had 30 years of accumulated things that we might use later in the garage, right? You know, old kitchen, because we replaced the kitchen some time ago. So we had the old kitchen because Jill said, well, you know, we might use it. We might be able to sell it at some point, you know. And you know, old bench tops and some of the things. And I'm thinking, well, we haven't touched any of that stuff for 30 years. I don't think we're ever going we're ever going to touch it. So I'm afraid I got Rufus and said, it's all going. And I now have a pristine garage, right? I've forgotten how big this garage is. You know, I can drive in without not having to worry about hitting anything or the bikes or whatever, everything else. So apart from a few tools, it is now pristine. I tell you what, I'm getting into this idea of cleaning out. I think there's more to clean out. So
wait until your mate John Adams finds out you've got a clean garage. She's going to want to store all shit in there. You know, yes. He's in the process of moving. He's got a you know, wine cellar some shit. So you just don't invite him, Martin. Don't invite him and walk him. You know,
no, we'll just keep it between you and I, right? That my garage is now pristine and beautiful, right? So and spacious.
And Jill had foresight, Martin. If you built a granny flat, yeah. I think she wanted to build a granny flat because she knew the issues that we were going to have around. And the rental stresses and everything, and she wanted to build a granny flat to house some of your mates from around the Gong, you know, so who knows?
Could well be, or maybe it was just that she didn't want to throw anything out. Yeah, I have to say that she always felt there might be some value in it, and I don't want to throw it out just in case. But I'm learning that actually sometimes being a little bit more ruthless and saying we're never going to use it, just get rid of it, is actually quite a good strategy. So this is my new leaf.
That'll be, yeah, it's interesting. It'll be, yeah, well, I need to get you over here. Maybe you could set up a consultancy. Martin will get rid of your shit consultancy services.
That's right, yes, exactly. So my new theory is, if I haven't used it in the last year, it's unlikely I'm ever going to use it. So there you go. So that's my new test. So rather than 30 years, right? And, you know, there was stuff there that, you know, years ago we got some exercise equipment, right? So, you know, a treadmill and what have you. And we used it for several years. And then for various reasons, we stopped using it. And then we came down to this part of the world where the exercise is much cheaper and free to go out around the beach. So we never used it, right? Now that's a good example of... we're never going to use it, so I managed to dispose of those. So another reason for putting stuff on eBay and you know, wherever else, right?
And I can tell a lot of people are going to be doing that post Christmas because of pain. The pain is real. The pain is there, and not to take it you know, too lightly. But there's we come across you know, in our travels. Obviously, we're looking at all sorts of different houses and see how people are living, you know, it's an eye-opener, as I've been saying. And perhaps this is a time where I just wanted to share, Martin, that the fact that, as I said, these people need a voice. And so what we're going to be doing is we're going to be launching a a movement. We're not going to be affiliated with any political party. We're going to be launching a movement on Wednesday. I'll launch it on Twitter. It's just going to be simple, straightforward, and we want to create a voice, a movement to lobby the parliamentarians, to lobby the state and in the local areas, and to hear people, what people have to say with regards to the stresses, the rent, the rental stresses that they're facing, because it's only going to get worse, unfortunately. And I thought about it. I don't want to be turning into a political party at all. It's going to be a movement because we're not going to be affiliated with any party as such. We want to give the people a voice. And the voice, for people that are aspiring to own a home, the issues that they're facing, the voice for people that are renting, going through rental stress or not being able to get a proper rental accommodation or living in shoddy rental accommodation. But also, Martin, it'll be a voice for those that do want to do the right thing, such as landlords that do want to get things that want to get the things done right and want to and have a heart for the community. So it's going to be a bit of a broad spectrum, but we'll see where it goes, and we'll see how it goes, because enough is enough. I just see so much pain out there, Martin. It's tear-jerking stuff. Some of the stuff that we see.
No, it's real. It's real. There are many people who are up against it. So good on you. And we'll certainly get behind it and see whether we can't help to influence and push and shove and get policymakers and those other people to wake up and realise that there are things that have to be done. And, there are many people out there who are relatively voiceless. So if we can be a voice to those, then that's a good thing.
Definitely. Let's see how we go. I'll launch it on Wednesday. It'll be simple. It'll be on Twitter. There'll be a Twitter handle, and that we're going to turn Twitter into the forum, and we'll see where it leads. We'll just play it by ear and see who joins, and whether there's three people on there, 300, whether there's 30,000. I'm going to make it a strong voice, and I'm going to make it one that we're going to become the thorn in the side of many politicians that have made all these sort of promises, and then they're just nowhere to be seen once they get elected.
Absolutely. Well, good on you, and we'll see how that goes. And just before we close off, a quick tip of the week, which is take it slow over Christmas.
Yes, take it slow, for God's sake, seriously. I've been losing tradies left, right and centre because of this Christmas party BS that goes on in the silly season, and stuff needs to get done. If anything, stay sober as much as you can, and because one of the things, as I mentioned to you before we opened the show, Martin, was yesterday I was playing carpenter because my son and his friend didn't turn up to finish off the architraves and. Yeah, and the door jams and everything, and the flooring goes down on Friday. So I was there all by myself from 8 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock, and he decides to turn up. And he's going, "What the hell happened to you?" He's just sobering up. I couldn't drive. I had so much to drink that I had to make sure that it was all out of my system. "Where's your mate?" "Oh, he's still in bed." Bloody hell! Seriously.
okay. Well, there you go. Yeah. So object lesson there is that there are going to be a number of traders who may be a little worse for wear. So just plan that into your calculus. Interestingly, I was talking to some traders today who have decided not to take the normal 2 weeks off. They're so busy, they're going to take the stat days, and that's all, and just work through because they've got so much work and they are getting paid such big bucks that they think it's a great time to work.
It's Christmas. Think it's Christmas.
Exactly right. A whole new meaning for Christmas, right? So they've upped their rates and they'll be working through.
And if they double their rates, they will get paid.
They did double the rates.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I've got a lot of DMs of people wanting to go. Like we shared last week about people packing up their trailers, packing up their the camper van, and hightailing it out to Forbes and those areas.
Mm.
So there are people looking, you know, and wanting to go out there. Look, I'm not going to recommend people. I know people out there. I know people that are working out there. I know people that are. But I make it a point not to recommend, particularly if I don't know who you are on, on Twitter or on any other social media platform that you may reach out to me. But what I can say publicly is the best thing you can do is contact the local Bunnings stores or contact the local suppliers of a particular industry, whether it's electrical or plumbing or that, and they will know, you know, where you want to. Where you can work and who's looking for tradespeople. So contact them. I won't recommend you directly.
Yeah, good advice, Edwin. Well, thank you very much, and great to chat again tonight. And we should probably tell our audience that we'll probably continue to make these shows over the festive period, right? Unless you're disappearing somewhere, I'm still going to be here.
I've got more work on now, and. Now that I've got my gym up and going, or half of it, I've still got to populate the other half. So there's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah.
I'm not playing. And particularly, I don't want to catch any Qantas flights anyway. I don't trust them anymore. That's it. I'm done with it.
Yeah, and I've also got loads of work on. I've got so many one-to-ones booked, and also a number of other things in the fire as well. So there's a lot going on. Edwin, thanks very much. Once again, we'll look forward to the next one, and have a good week. Don't work too hard.
Definitely won't. All the best.
See ya. Cheers.